peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, my name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. And this is episode number 162, the last show of the year, the final program of the season. So before we get into this week's episode, I just want to thank you for making this year the best ever for GTR. When I just look at the numbers, when I look at the stats, which I don't do that often, but I saw for the year 100,000 downloads. And it's not a perfect science. I know that doesn't even capture all of the actual downloads and the different platforms, but man, that's incredible. So thank you so much for listening to the show, believing in the program, sharing it with others. Thank you to our guests. We've had some pretty remarkable people bless us with their stories, their testimonies, their minds. People like famed archaeologist, Hebrew scholar, Dr. Jody Magnus on the show with us this season. Nun and Nunner, Danielle Bean, Brother Richard Hendrick, all the way from Ireland. My friend Jen Gerber, Pastor Linda Isaiah. Those are just a few of the guests that we were able to bring to you this season. Of course, Father Nathan Cromley, and he's also going to be back on today's show for a final Padre in Your Pocket of the year, too. But so thankful for this wonderful, eclectic cast of characters. And our book, Choose Hope. Every week, stories are coming in from so many of you and new friends, too, who are sharing the devotions and how they're impacting them. And it's through your support, it's because of your encouragement and God's providence that we know who has our back, Psalm 70. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Oh, come to me quickly, Lord. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay. And seeing these stories, hearing the testimonies week after week from Choose Hope and bringing some of those stories to you this season on the show has really been a blessing. So a big thank you. Had to start there. So on today's show, we're talking about bells and beads. Father Nathan, he is going to unwrap the beauty, how in the monastery, it all starts with a bell. In the morning, they rise with a bell, then to pray, to study, to eat, holy leisure, again, the bell rings. As we start the new liturgical year, how we can sound that bell and open ourselves up to the Christ child like an empty jug being filled. Powerful words of wisdom and truth from Father Nathan with the last Padre in Your Pocket of 2018. And we're going to talk about the power of the rosary. Kristen Riley is someone that has an enormous social media following. Her handle, One Hail Mary at a Time, and many Hail Marys at a time. And we'll get into the difference and how you can be enfolded in that. And we'll also hear from a few friends today on the show wishing you a blessed Christmas season too. And I'm going to sprinkle those in as surprises. So let's get going.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Oh, that scene gets me every time. Such a classic. And our love affair with bells, don't you think? In music, in movies, and even towards the end of my aunt's life, she often heard bells, the sound of heaven. During the Arise retreat, that's what we use, just like in the monastery or the cloister. When that bell sounds, it's time to transition to the next element. And there's just something about it and the symbolism and the simplicity of one sound of the bell. And as we hear this time of year, all sorts of bells, I thought it would be a fitting way to conclude the season. So really excited for Father Nathan to help us see and hear a little differently with a Padre in Your Pocket.
Padre.
This is Father Nathan with another Padre in Your Pocket special Christmas edition. I want us to think for a moment about one of the neatest symbols in the Christmas repertoire, and that is a symbol of bells. Bells are a very important part in the life of a monk. I know them, I live them, I follow by them, because what bells do is add an element of joyful summons to our lives. And the reason why bells are so unpopular during Christmas season is because it's a solemn proclamation to the world a joyful summons that something amazing has just happened. Of course, that's the birth of the Savior of the universe. And the ringing of bells, therefore, is like a shattering of the silence, and a shattering of the silence with a beautiful tone that is incredibly loud. Being a monk, I would sometimes be summoned to ring the bells and be the bell ringer, Brother Quasimodo, as we call him. And you'd get to go and keep the schedule of the day when you don't speak by the ringing of the bells at particular times. And what a joy it is to make such a clamor as can be heard from a half a mile away by ringing a bell to announce the various things that are happening in the course of our day. Why is that so remarkable? Because Christianity is supposed to be a joyful clamor. It's supposed to be a glorious noise. We are supposed to make loud the proclamation to this world that the Savior is here and summon everyone who hears that proclamation to draw near and to join in the merrymaking. The symbol of bells at Christmas are a reminder to each one of us about what our Christian vocation should be. A lot of you are going into your Christmas parties and you're just so worried because what are you going to say about this situation in the family, or who's going to bring whoever else over to the party that's not supposed to be there, or what you're going to wear, or what your husband is going to wear, or what your children are going to wear, and whether it was the same thing you wore last year, and whether everyone will notice, and oh my goodness. And all of those different things that we're thinking about will wrap us all up into the silence that's a not healthy silence, a type of mutedness to the spiritual clamor that is called for by the birth of the Savior of the universe. The ringing of bells is a symbol and a summons for us about the attitude we ought to take about this Christmas. Let's not keep Christ wrapped up and put down. Let's put him up like a lamp on a lampstand, and let's ring the bells of our souls and of our joy, and let loose this Christmas a little of the spirit that is inside of each one of us, the spirit that says, God is with us. Who can be against us? The Savior of the Lord is near. Alleluia.
Hi to all the listeners. Happy to be back in the air, back on the air, I should say. Sounds like I'm St. Nick there for a moment. Happy to share with you just this anticipation of Blessed Holy Journey preparing for Christmas. And so I've just written this. Is there a family without need? One for whom we shouldn't intercede? No, not one. And so we pray this day that all families will be blessed and helped to believe in Jesus. Merry Christmas, everyone.
So one of my very favorite quotes about the rosary is from Pope Pius IX, and no matter how many times I hear it, it makes my heart jump, and that is, give me an army saying the rosary, and I will conquer the world. And as we approach the Nativity of Our Lord, the feast day of Christmas, the season of Epiphany, and all the graces with that, I just thought it would be fitting to spend a little time with Our Lady, the bearer of Jesus Christ, our intercessor through the prayers of the rosary. So I am so thrilled to be joined by someone who's taking that mission of the rosary to the world. And that is Kristen Riley from One Hail Mary at a Time. I don't think that's an exaggeration. She's joining us and
you're so
happy.
Sweet, Brooke. That's so nice.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You are. And we'll get into the details of how the Holy Spirit is using you, your voice, your heart. But I saw even now, as we are just getting into the day, that you already prayed the rosary today. You pray it every day.
Yes, it's such a beautiful gift. And so many people reach out and they're like, thank you, please keep doing it. And I'm like, you don't realize, like, selfishly, it's like such a blessing for me because it makes me wake up and say it and get ready for the day. that way every day.
Yeah. So for our listeners who may not be online or social media or Instagram, I want to just spend a few minutes sharing who you are, your heart, and then how they can find you, because you are a force for the new evangelization. And because it's not just that this is your mission and you do nothing else, but you are a mom of six, you're a corporate businesswoman, you're married to an entrepreneur, and you have a lot going on. And yet you do this faithfully. You pray it daily, and it's live on Instagram for anyone to join. So it sounds like it's a lot of work, but I know that it's a passion for you.
It's probably the only thing that I do every day well. Because, you know, common question is always, how do you do it all? And the truth is, you know, I don't, but the rosary is like my life raft. We started as a family praying it at night, but this starting it in the morning, that started probably 2-3 months ago. And it's just, there is such a difference in the day when what we've all kind of found is that when you start your day praying the rosary, everything just kind of flows. Even if something comes up or arises that typically would make me really overwhelmed or I would go to a negative space, I tend to catch myself and just kind of surrender and worry less and put it all with Our Lady. She really does take care of you if you call upon her.
And obviously that resonates with people because you have a massive following.
Really, how it got started was with one Hail Mary at a time. And we lived in the city of Chicago with 5 kids. And we always called ourselves tiny house pioneers, living with 5 kids. But we belonged to this great parish that had this thriving community that I felt I had all these people that I connected with. And we would also pray the rosary every Thursday morning after you drop kids off for school. And it would be just 20 to 25 minutes. And we would all get together. And I just through that community, I witnessed how quickly you can connect with people actually through the rosary, because you start off with prayer intentions. And so there is no superficiality in the relationships because you all know what you're going through. So you can't pretend. And then we're all praying for each other. And then if something comes up, we would all email. Well, then we really needed to move because of our situation. And just it's
tiny house,
easier.
Lots of kids.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a lot easier in the suburbs when you have so many kids. So
yeah.
So we moved, and we're now I work from home a lot. And so I was feeling a little lonely and isolated. And I was also, 7-8 months pregnant. And at this point, we had been saying the rosary every night for about 5 years. And it just kind of came to me one day. I was like, well, maybe I should try and create a community online. Because so much of us that is where we kind of are and spend our time. So I just started that Instagram handle about 2 years ago. And it was also to connect with other working moms, because I know that is also a difficult space to connect with other women and just even make friends because you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so
to your point, without the superficiality where you are just cutting to the chase and getting to the meat of what you're dealing with, what you need help with, and the prayers that we all need.
Yes. Yeah. And I was pretty nervous putting myself out there. I think a lot of my friends, I don't know if they even really knew that we prayed the rosary every day, and even among our family. But what's interesting is that when you do put yourself out there, your relationships actually become more authentic and more real in themselves, because people know something about you that maybe they didn't know before. And it also perks their interests. Like, we do now have a good friend that they had never prayed the rosary together, but kind of seeing me talk about it all the time, they actually started doing it as a family, especially when a family member became sick. And so hearing things like that keeps me going.
And I think, too, there's a need to see our faith lived out. And that was one of the things we talk about on the show a lot. And with seeing you, because sometimes you show, look, this is a video on twice speed where I'm folding laundry we're doing the rosary. That is keeping it real, because we all need that. And we try and we strive. It is inspiring and it's really needed.
Yeah, it is. I think, there was like a huge disconnect for me there as well. And we actually started praying it for Lent. And my husband also had lost his job. So we were expecting baby number 3. We both had corporate jobs. Just had bought our tiny house. It was like it was a very stressful period. And so my mom had suggested maybe you start praying the rosary for Lent and just see. And it was just such a disaster for like the first 2 or 3 weeks because my husband had never prayed it before. I knew it by way of in our family, we would do it on long car trips.
I was going to ask about that. So you grew up Catholic, your upbringing, yes. That is something then periodically was sprinkled in.
Yes. So my parents are pretty devout practicing Catholics. And then I did go to Catholic school pretty much, yeah, grade school, high school, and college, and then even grad school. But yeah, and then I have an older sister, and then I have two brothers with Down syndrome. They were probably our greatest teachers for holiness.
I know. And you and I have talked about that a little bit too. And you, again, just I think all of us, as we are vulnerable and share bits and pieces of our lives here and there. And I think that that's an area I know that has touched people as you talk about your brothers and you share their stories. And I know for me, it's balm for my heart, you know, when I share about Carolina and the ability of those with any sort of what we would say disability to connect with such purity to the spirit. And even yesterday, it was so funny. We were getting ready for mass and I was curling my daughter's hair and she was singing Rudolph. This is how she did the song. She said, then when Froggy, because she loves frogs. So then when Froggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, and then she went into, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Oh, I love it.
And it was, you know, for me, one of those things that only she and I in the quiet of that bathroom are experiencing. But I know for me, it's an outpouring of her heart and her spirit. And I'm curious for the feedback you've heard when it comes to, I want to just go over the whole gamut of testimonies, but when it comes to special needs and the rosary, have you heard any particular stories?
My brothers, they'll say, you know, like Hail Mary and they say, amen.
They're adding their flair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think with all children, even children with special needs, it takes a lot of patience, but my brothers, actually, they tend to actually really like it. You can kind of see the peace exuding through them, especially in just their, how they say amen, excited they get.
And I do think there's something soothing about, because it is scientific too, the breathing, the cadence of the physical prayer. And I find that too, even like the Divine Mercy Chaplet, everybody.
It's a meditative prayer, right?
And so the testimonies that you've heard, because you actually have a whole section on your website that opens it up for people to share. I know it's hard to pick one, but has there been one or two that has really moved you the most?
Oh, there are some big ones in the way of, probably a few months ago, we prayed for those struggling with infertility. And we had a mom that actually, she had cancer. And she had literally like a 3-month window to get pregnant before they would start treatments again. It was literally that week that we had prayed that she would find out. And then it was like by the end of that week, she actually found out and she had a positive pregnancy test.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So there's, now that's a big one.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, they're not always like that. I always love the ones that are like, I didn't even know what the rosary was. I've never prayed it before. And I've now prayed it with you for the last 3 days. And I already feel insurmountably better, more at peace. And I think the rosary prayer especially can be pretty intimidating and people just kind of need somebody to walk them through it. And I think that's kind of what, you know, the live videos done on many Hail Marys has helped a lot of them. There's so many testimonies, but I think that the most consistent fruit of the prayer is you really just feel more at peace and you feel more in alignment with God's plan and what it is that he wants you to do. And you don't have to worry. You can, if you said the rosary and you surrender it to her and, you know, she takes all of those prayers to Jesus, her son, all you have to worry about then in that day is just be present and be present to what is.
As you talk about the intercessory power of Mary, it makes me think of non-Catholics and the miscommunication, I think, or misunderstanding so often. Do you ever hear from non-Catholic?
Yeah, all the time. And they're great about it. They're just trying to inquire and they're like, wait, so you pray to her? And it's like, I always describe her as the ultimate intermediary. scary.
Yeah, and it's also hard to explain when you talk about the sense of peace and how you in your own life have noticed a difference in your family. It's hard to really explain unless you
experience it. It is really hard. So that's why I always tell people, because I was very much a non-believer myself, like, right, okay. And so it's just something you have to do and start doing, really put your heart into it and at least just try. And then you'll start seeing the fruits and they will come.
And the blessing of doing it together. I mean, I love, again, the way. So many Hail Marys at a time. You have one Hail Mary at a time on Instagram. Yeah. And then the many Hail Marys is kind of the community page, right? Where everybody goes and prays and offers petitions. And then you have the live. It's 6:45 Central every morning. Yes. Is that right?
Yes.
Is it 5 days a week or seven?
No, I do it 7 days a week.
I can't believe you do it 7 days a week. Because it'll say that you started, it'll show on my phone, it'll say that you started a live video. And I've seen it pop up on weekends sometimes. I'm like, you're doing, that's so great.
I know. I think it's also, I have debated, I'm like, should I pull back a day? But what's interesting is there's probably about, you know, 150 to 200 that are there for the actual live rosary. But I sometimes forget that there's like another like 700 to 800 that listen after.
So the way it works is it's live and then it stays up for 24 hours. Is that right?
Correct.
And you can still watch it. And do you hear from people all over?
They're all over. So they're always laughing when I like wake up and I'm like, good morning. And they're like, it's not morning here. It's like there's definitely a few in Australia and then like Europe and South America. And I think that's what's really been beautiful. I mean, This is a completely different topic, but just for me, starting it and going into live, or even doing the virtual rosary groups, I was very hesitant because I know the meaning comes so much when you're actually sitting with somebody physically. It's really still been so beautiful. And I think there's a lot of power in seeing a face, you know, and just think that that's been another blessing that I never saw coming. But people really like seeing other people living out the example of the faith. That day you came on and then your mom came in. It was so beautiful.
She did.
And
yeah.
I loved that so much.
And I do too. I mean, I love seeing every, because you have a guest join you almost every day. And so we have this little eye, this little portal into the inside door of their home. And sometimes they're fresh out of bed. Sometimes they're ready to go for the day. Yes. And just to get a little glimpse, there's just something so cool about that community aspect. And I'm wondering, as we then conclude the year. Well, we're just starting the new church year. So as we kind of kick off and then wrap up 2018, what is your hope and prayer for this ministry and what God has done?
For me, like I said, selfishly, it's so great for me to start the day that way. And then I really at some point want to bring people together. So and meet in person. So whether that's a retreat or whatnot, something where at least you can take the virtual relationship and make it in person. So, but all for Our Lady, right? I'm just kind of like, whatever you want.
Well, yeah, because you just did a consecration, right? You did 33 Days of Morning Glory.
Yeah, that came through. So much of what I do comes from the community. Mm-hmm. So that was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, it was like 2,500 people that did it. So
that is beautiful. I think where for me this time of year, I want to stay at the feet of Our Lady and at the cross and grounded in that, because there are so many other distractions that can pull us away and complicate things and stress us out. So that's why I wanted to just focus on the simplicity of that and on her. Yes. So thank you for what you do. And
of course,
how can we find you? Because you're all over. You have a YouTube page, too. I didn't even realize that.
Oh, I just started that because people are like, can you like put up a video on YouTube so I can listen to it.
One thing that I'll suggest also is Latin, because that's it happened for us a while back in that it was a challenge for our family during Lent is we wanted to learn Latin because our kids don't learn Latin anymore. And I don't know Latin. And so we're like, we should know the sign of the cross in Latin and then the Hail Mary. And so what we did during Lent is we had a competition, but that's how we learned is it was chanted on YouTube. And then it takes the rosary to this incredibly heavenly other level. And we actually came out with a family CD where you can could learn Latin with our family, which I don't know, because my son's Latin teacher at school. Anyway, I realized that I was saying something wrong. But yeah, because, and I do this whole talk on this, the Vatican exorcist, who's now since passed, Father Gabriel Amarth, he says the devil hates Latin. The rite of the exorcism is always still and always will be in Latin. And so
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think that
inspiring all of us here.
I think though that it, again, if it's done in like a community way, because it was my kids that inspired me, you know, kids pick things up like that. And I thought if my six-year-old is picking this up, I should be able to do it. And John Paul II, he has a whole Latin CD of rosary prayers. And so when I was going to Cleveland, I was commuting every day to work. I learned it phonetically. Like, one, it took a long time, but then it was when we did it in song that we were finally able to learn it right and with the words.
That's beautiful. So can we find that on iTunes or like your...
It's really exciting because I find a spike during like First Communions. It's usually bought a lot for like a First Communion gift. It's called Pray With Me, and it's a Catholic treasury of family prayers. And it's why, it's not just the prayers, but it's the stories behind the prayer and why. Why do we say, there's a golden arrow prayer that if you would take the Lord's name in vain, that you pray for the reparation of our Lord's name. And so, you know, it was just an effort, again, I think like you're doing, like we're all striving to do, to live out our faith more than just one day a week, but to make it living in a culture that is not really open to that all the time.
Yeah, and just like friendship, right? Like actually is maybe somewhat spiritual.
But that's why I think it's so powerful about your one simple Instagram account, because you do take us behind the curtain when things aren't going great. So thank you.
Working on it. Yeah.
So you're on YouTube. You have a website. Your website's One Hail Mary at a Time, right?
It is. Yeah. I spend most of my time, I'd say, is on Instagram. So you can find it at One Hail Mary at a Time or Many Hail Marys at a Time.
Great. Yeah. We do. We will. And God bless you. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Father Nathan, the Padre in your pocket. I would like to just share with you my gratitude to God for all the goodness that He's given me this year in our ministry at the St. John Institute. We are accepting applications for next year's class. Anyone studying for a graduate degree in any subject from any university can come here to Denver and study with me. The brothers and sisters of St. John offer a spiritual climate that also entails formation in leadership. We would love to have you recommend your sons, your daughters, your nieces, your nephews, your sisters, your brothers, who are looking to get a graduate degree in anything, to earn that degree while studying and being formed in leadership, prayer, spirituality, and community with the St. John Institute. To find out more, apply now on the website, SaintJohnInstitute.org. That's the SaintJohnInstitute.org.
Thank you so much to Father Nathan. We support, we rejoice in all you are doing, Father, for the glory of God and souls. And seeing Jeanette Bankovic and Father Nathan, if you haven't checked out Eagle Eye Pro or his ministry, St. John Institute, visit his page, because he's going to be on and has already aired with Jeanette Bankovic on EWTN, as well as his own podcast. So lots going on. And God bless you and thank you. So going to be taking some time off as we conclude this season and then pick back up again in January for next year. Already, I can tell you that Brother John Michael Paul is going to be kind of like our roving monk reporter in Panama. World Youth Day is coming up at the end of January. So he's going to be spending time, you know, these monks with the community of St. John, whether it is Father Nathan or Brother John Michael Paul, you never know what they're going to be doing. They're scaling some mountain. They're climbing an iceberg somewhere. Well, he is going to be in the cloud forest as they hike, he and a group of youth, to see Pope Francis in Panama at the end of January for World Youth Day. So he's going to be checking in and taking us along for the ride. Super excited about that when we resume our new season in 2019. And of course, he and I are also going to be embarking on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and that's going to be in March. And man, I don't know what happened, but our trip is filling up. It was like all of a sudden this faucet was turned on. Pilgrims pilgrims have been rushing in, signing up, and maybe it's because of the Christmas season being called, which is exciting, it's fun, and you are going to be a part of that. I want you to know, no matter what, we are going to bring you into that journey, whether you actually leave your home or not, and that will be in March of 2019. But really, as I look at the calendar and I start to plan little things, we all come here today, right here and now, not knowing what's around the bend, that knowing tomorrow is never guaranteed, but that our loving God holds us in the palm of his hand. And that is where we rest and trust and breathe. So I love how Father Nathan said it. May we be the Quasimodo of our homes and communities and ring the bell to announce the Messiah and the promise that we can count on a future and a hope, as Jeremiah reminds us in 29:11. So thank you again for being here this year, this season for Good Things Radio. Thank you most exceedingly to my wonderful producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio. And while he is often the mysterious mastermind behind the board, every now and then he comes out as the Oz behind the curtain to also impart some beautiful words of wisdom, and wanted to share a Christmas greeting for you as well.
Thank you, Brooke. Christmas is a very special time for families to share and celebrate the joy of the season with each other. And as I'm producing our last episode of 2018, now just 10 days before Christmas, it gives me great joy to be sharing this time at Christmas with everyone in the Good Things Radio family. With all my heart, I hope this is a holy season for all of you, and I can't wait to be with you all again in the new year. Merry Christmas, everyone. And a joyful and peaceful new year.
Thank you so much, Mark, and all the ways that Mark perfects and patches up the holes in this humble podcast. Thank you so much. And to especially our faithful GTR, good friends of the show who keep the podcast going. You are an indispensable part of the ministry and the program. You are prayed for every day, and just want you to know that. So thankful. God bless you greatly as we celebrate the greatest gift, our Lord Jesus Christ, the reason for our hope. Merry Christmas, friends. God bless you.